Okay, I'd like to call to order the Carson City Audit Committee. This time, can we take the roll call, please?
Chairperson Bertrand?
Here.
Member Bagwell?
Here.
Member Byrne?
Here.
Member Mayhorn?
Here.
Member Ferguson? Quorum is present.
Okay, thank you. Okay, well, at this time, I'd like to introduce Ernie Mayhorn. He's now joining us as our on the Audit Committee, and I believe we have one other member that couldn't make it today. Ernie, would you like to just take a minute or two to tell us a little bit about yourselves?
Sure. My name is Ernie Mayhorn. I have a business in town, Capital Tax Solutions. I specialize in IRS issues and tax issues and things like that. Anytime people get audited or owe the IRS tens or hundreds of thousands of dollars, so the people I represent. Background prior to that, I've been doing that for about 15 years. Prior to that was all sales and marketing. I have 3 degrees, none of which are accounting.
Thank you. Well, you know, and the part of this committee, it's neat. We got a little bit of everybody on here. We got a board of supervisor. We got a couple of CPAs, and the whole thing is to have people from other walks of life to come in and look at it. So thanks, and welcome to the committee. Okay, moving on here, item number 3 on the agenda, public comments and discussion. As always, the public is invited at this time to comment on and discuss on any topic that is relevant to or within the authority of the Carson City Audit Committee. In order for members of the public to participate in the committee's consideration of an agenda item, the committee strongly encourages members of the public to comment on an agenda item during the item itself. No action may be taken on a matter raised under public comment unless the item has been specifically included on the agenda as an item upon which action may be taken. And is there any public comment at this time? Okay.
Mr. Chair, if we could just take a moment to swear in a new member.
Okay, let's go ahead and do that.
Mr. Ferguson. Hi. You could just raise your right hand and repeat after me. I and state your name.
I, Steve
Ferguson. Do solemnly swear that I will support, protect, and defend.
Well, Steve, just before you came here, we took the opportunity to allow Ernie to introduce himself, so we're going to give you the same couple of minutes here. If you can just tell us a little bit about yourself and what led you to join this committee today.
Steve Ferguson, I've been with Carson City for about 10 years.
CPA, MBA, CFO for the last 8 years of a couple different companies. I love Carson City and just wanted to, thought I could help with my strengths and the work experience, help the city do a better job in financial administration. Thanks.
Thank you. Okay, right now on the agenda item, we're on number 4, approval of the minutes for November 16, 2016. Do I have a motion?
I move to approve the minutes of November 16, 2016 as submitted.
We have a second?
I second it.
Okay, any comments or discussions? All those in favor to accept the minutes of November the 16th, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Adoption of the agenda. Do I have a motion to adopt today's agenda?
Motion to adopt today's agenda.
Second.
Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Okay, we're now on item number 6. At this time, I believe we have a representative from ID Bailey to discuss the CAFR. Do we have somebody here from ID Bailey?
I just heard from Dan Carter, and he's stuck in traffic, so could we take the items out of order?
Okay, all right. Do we need to have a motion and agree on that? No?
No, it's chair that you
chair can do that. I can just go ahead.
Now.
All right, great. That's one of the things I don't have to ask for permission for. I like that. I feel like a CEO.
It's a first.
Okay, all right. Moving on to item number 6B. And this is, at this time, we're going to have Mark Strenka of Moss Adams come up and give us an update on the work program. Could you go ahead and make that, Mark?
Yes, good afternoon. Mark Strenka of Moss Adams. Happy Valentine's Day, all. What's that?
Thanks.
Yeah, there you go. So quick update. So you should have a one-page status report, and for the new members, we issue these each time we meet. And I'll buy Dan a little bit of time to hit. Yeah. So quick status update. So I'm going to go through these with just a little bit extra explanation for the new members. So the basic internal auditor services, so that's really just our time attending audit committee, board of supervisor meetings, managing the internal audit program, and then the work that we do in terms of validation of findings. So that's kind of a catch-all bucket. The small works projects review, we're going to be presenting that to you. I think it's item 6D, so we'll wait for that one. The next two, the procurement testing and IT controls testing. So those, I'll step back a little bit. So the projects, so each year we work with the audit committee towards the end of the fiscal year in anticipation of the subsequent fiscal year, develop an audit program of projects that we're going to execute each year. The inputs to the potential projects that we conduct each year are a variety. So one is one of the first projects when we got on board was doing an enterprise risk assessment. So that identified a bunch of potential things that we could focus on. So that's been an input to areas of focus for our internal audit program. We also did an enterprise internal controls review where there were areas for improvement. Those also became, in some cases, projects. And then anything else, the audit committee itself, the board of supervisors, the city manager, really anyone within the city government in terms of, hey, we think we either have an issue here or here's something we think that we can improve on. So those come into consideration. And then the last sort of conduit for potential projects is we have an ethics hotline that members of the community or the city can call into, and that's actually was sort of the impetus of the small works project that we're going to talk about. So all of those create sort of a each year potential projects. We prioritize those within the budget that's available, and we arrive at what we're executing. So for example, the procurement testing and internal controls testing, those are right directly from our internal controls review, where we're starting at. Maybe, was it last year where we started doing testing? I think it was last year. Is that right?
Yeah. Or the year.
Maybe the year before. But until that point, we're really working on evaluating internal controls for design, for example. And then we sort of at a point shifted gears and said, okay, now we're going to start diving in and actually testing the controls. So this is a couple of areas that we'll be testing. We're just in the throes of starting the procurement testing, and as soon as we're completed with that, we'll do the IT controls testing. And then the last item, the FWA Fraud, Waste, and Abuse Program Coordination, that's just administering the hotline. And again, just for the new members' benefit, the calls to the hotline come in probably on average 1 to 1.5 on average a month. They fall into three primary buckets. The two big buckets are something that has nothing to do with the city. My credit card was stolen. The DirecTV provider, salesperson never came back, whatever. Thanks but no thanks. And we get them as reports. So I get an email that says, here's the report from the hotline. And they're anonymous, but they can provide contact information or not. That's up to the person who's providing the source of the call. The second bucket are things that have to do with the city, but they're not something for the internal auditor to be focused on. It's not an issue of fraud, waste, or abuse. So it's a personnel issue. It's something that we forward to the appropriate person within the city. And that's probably 40 to 45%. The first bucket's 40 to 45%. And then what's left are things that we might actually be interested in. And the majority of those are things that we either make a call or two and decide that, you know, there's no real issue, or we actually sort of delve into. And anyway, so that's sort of how they shake out. In the last reporting period, we didn't have any hotline calls. When we last meet, was it January? December? November, okay. So we had a quiet period. Budget update, everything's within budget. That's normal. One comment I was going to make about the procurement testing. Last fiscal year, we did testing on P cards, so purchasing cards that the employees use. This particular procurement testing is going to focus on sort of more traditional procurement, so procurement over 5,000, procurement under 5,000, things that are happening centrally within procurement, and then things that are happening decentrally within departments. And so the focus on this one won't be the P cards because we did that last year. And I think that was it for what I thought I should update you on. Questions?
So on the procurement testing, mm-hmm. is that going to include that it should or should not have been a purchase order?
Yes.
Right? I just
yes.
want to make sure that yeah. we're all clear that it's testing whether it should have had a contract, whether
yes.
it...
Yes. So, right. Okay, did it fall into the right bucket? Did we use the right method, i.e. did it follow policy?
Right.
Yes.
And yes. Did we miss a bucket, and what happened, and how
right.
did it get through?
Yep.
Okay, thank
yep.
you.
You're welcome.
Now, are P cards going to be part of that sample, or are you going to specifically exclude them because they didn't look
at it in the
past?
I think we're going to specifically exclude them because we did that exclusively last time, and it turned out well. I mean, the results were good, so, which was good.
When you talk about procurement, are you including the accounts payable process as well?
No, we're looking through in this particular case because, well, we've looked at accounts payable as far as internal controls, and we'll do testing there too, but this is just solely where we're procuring out for services. But we will address that, but separately. Yeah, you're welcome.
Any other questions? Okay, before we move on to the next agenda item, I see Dan Carter is here, and rather than to feel like we're punishing him for coming late to make him sit through the whole meeting, we'll go ahead and we'll take his agenda item now. Dan here is with ID Bailey, and he's going to give a presentation and give us the opportunity to ask any questions regarding the city's CAFR.
And Dan, we got caught in the same traffic. We were almost late. So.
Oh, good to know.
Yeah, yeah. So just there corroborating that there was.
And Carson Street, and I swear when you put a stop sign out instead of a stop light, nobody knows what's going on. It's not. Oh, sorry. I thought maybe you did that to me just because of the findings in the
yeah.
camera.
It was moving, just a little slower than normal.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Don't have the parking lot yeah. secrets. Go through the McDonald's across, yeah.
I was trying to find another way around it. Yeah. So, yes, I apologize for being late, but just wanted to run through. I believe Nancy provided the compliance section of the CAFR to the audit committee. Wanted to make one other comment that we did issue unmodified opinion on the financial statements as a whole for the city. The highest level assurance we can provide is definitely a good thing. As we go through the compliance section itself, the first report that we issue in that back section of the CAFR is the independent auditor's report on internal control over financial reporting and on compliance and other matters based on audit of financial statements performed in accordance with government auditing standards. This is government specific, what we typically refer to as our yellow book opinion. Happy to report no instances of noncompliance, no significant deficiencies or material weaknesses noted as part of our audit. So definitely a good thing again. The next report that you'll see, and this is on page 123, I believe. Nope, sorry, 189, is the independent auditor's report on compliance for each major federal program. And so this is our single audit we refer to. The audit of all the federal money that comes through that the city expends. This one we did have a few findings starting on page 201 are the findings themselves. So the first one was a reporting finding. The SF 425 report is a report that the feds require the city to file And we just noticed a wrong number was picked up on the revenue and expense, the cash receipts and cash disbursements line items of that report. So I need to report it in the CAFR. This is one, the dollar amount was over our calculated threshold for materiality, so it does end up being a material weakness and therefore a qualified opinion on this one major federal program. You'll see that back in our report. The qualified opinion on highway planning and construction cluster solely related to that report and the dollar amount of the error that we found.
Excuse me. So, Dan, was that like a mathematical, like a clerical error, or what was the issue?
I think it was a clerical error. It was. I think they were accumulating numbers from previous reports instead of just pulling the amount since the last report. But yeah, I think that's since been gone through and corrected at this point. So yeah, just not all the I's being dotted and the T's being crossed, wrong number getting picked up. And then the cash management finding 2016-02. Again, what we had found is that you can only request reimbursement on federal money when things have already been spent by the city. And I think what got picked up was a PO in the system instead of an encumbrance in the system instead of an invoice. So just somebody looking and thought the money had been spent, requested it, and it unfortunately hadn't already been spent yet. So.
What do you remember what the dollar amount of that was? How significant that was?
I think it was the $51,250.
Yeah, and actually, the Nancy Paulson, CFO for Carson City, the finance department found this error because we reconcile all the grants to make sure the revenues match the expenses. And we found it at that time. It was just after the fact. So it's still a finding.
So, yeah, detective controls instead of preventative controls. But again, and we'll run through the corrective action, it sounds like there are procedures now in place to get those reviewed up front before they're submitted. So. And then finding 2016-003 was our finding related to the CIFA, just the dollar amounts that we were auditing were included in the wrong program up front. We had selected the program for testing, and as part of that, when we got the final agreements, realized that the CFD number was wrong, so it was just misclassified on the CIFA, but was corrected by the time it went into the CAFR, so the one that's included here is accurate. So those were our findings from the 2016 audit period. We do, as part of our audit follow-up on all the prior year findings, we had, I believe, five prior audit findings in various departments and did procedures to make sure that all of them were corrected. So no issues of recurring findings this year, which is always a good thing. That's pretty much our piece of the compliance section of the CAFR.
So, page 199,
yeah.
Where it indicates the oddity qualified as a low-risk oddity, it now says no. So did that have an impact financially on us? Does that mean you have to do more testing next time? What's the impact of getting a no?
Yes, there is. The primary impact is the fact that we would have to audit an increased percentage of the CIFA. There's no real impact to the city because you have a few really big programs and then a lot of small programs. So we typically attain that level of coverage anyway because we're auditing. We pick the biggest programs. Yeah. So I don't think we'll be selecting more programs on a go-forward basis because we've always gotten such large amount of coverage on the CIFA. Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't like that. We just, no. Oh, shoot. I thought, I'm going to get a bill.
Of course. Anything else, Nancy? No?
Are there any other questions? All right, well, being that there are no more questions, well, thank you, Dan, for coming down here, fighting the traffic and all, and for your presentation. Thank you for the good work you guys are doing.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, moving back to our agenda, we're picking it up at 6B, 6D, C. Okay, at this time, Moss Adams, Mark Serenka is going to kind of go over with us the audit findings tracking report for those new committee members. What we do on a regular basis, we have an Excel spreadsheet where as they go through and they do projects and audits, they'll come back and we'll find findings, and it's a process where we're able to monitor the findings, see what's being followed up. When we've had a chance to look them over and be satisfied that they've been properly resolved, we then go ahead and make a recommendation to the Board of Supervisors. So you should have an Excel spreadsheet in your packet. That's what you want to pull out here, and that's what Mark will be going over now.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Chair. So it's about a 7-page document, so it looks like this. Hopefully you can read it. So what we typically do is first just go through sort of the summary page. And so for the new members, so this we in the past have had more projects on here, so as all the findings for project get resolved, they come off this. We have an archive tabs in here that have all the findings that have been completed, and like I said, when a full sort of study has been resolved, like the first two, we'd expect the next time those won't be on the report. So the community facilities cost recovery study, there were two findings. You can see the notes on the right were administratively closed. So administratively closed means the city has decided that we can't really take action on them. Now, those were two kind of prospective findings relative to the Question 18 funds and things to potentially use it for, which are not readily within the city's discretion to do just at their discretion. And so this study was, as actually you can see, was completed in 2012, and those two findings have kind of just been sitting there for a while, and I think the prudent decision was made by city manager was, let's just close those because we don't foresee that happening. Lori, do you want to, since you're more familiar with this, shed any additional commentary on that?
So I'd like to actually comment on number 7, because it's important to me that even if we're going to recommend it be administratively closed, I'd still like to make sure that the remediation plan is accurate so that when you put it in the tabs, that we only have accurate information, because it says that the 1/8-cent project is scheduled for 2017 to the community center, and that is not accurate.
Okay.
It is a potential as the last resort. So the community center, just so everyone's aware, was approved in the 1/8-cent as a potential project, but it will be the last project funded. So I'd like that box corrected. And I do concur that there are times, even though an audit recommendation is something that should be looked at, it also has to be reasonable for implementation. And so I concur that we need to look at administratively closing those that we just have no hope of achieving. So the administrative close is fine, but I want to make sure the record's correct in the box.
Thank you. So let's go back to the summary. So for the community facility cost recovery again, so there were two remaining findings. Those were closed, and those are on the obviously page number 2, the sheet that followed. Then if we look at the employee efficiency study, there was one remaining finding there that was completed. That's on page 3, and that was development of IT strategic plan. And then under the internal controls review, the third project on the summary page list, there were 7 findings completed and 1 administratively closed, and we can come back to that. And then finally in the 4th, the policies and procedures, there was 1 finding administratively closed. And again, for the new members, so whatever the audit committee approves today, we'll put in today's date for the AC approval date, and then when those go to the Board of Supervisors for official closure, we'll provide that date. There were previously dates in these columns for the sort of the last set that went through that process. So, maybe then as we page through these, one comment and one question to the audit committee. So the comment would be, so we'll add the findings from the CAFR, which we do each year, so that they're covered in here. Some of them will, in essence, already have been addressed. But we'll add to them, and past CAFR findings are now in archive tabs because they were addressed. And then the question to you is, are there any of these findings that you think you would want us to, quote unquote, validate, to go back and look at? We've looked at them, and we think that they're all reasonable. That they're reasonable statements on the part of management, but that's always at your discretion. I'm not saying you should have us do it, but just it's a reminder that that's part of the process that you kind of go through each time that we go through this report. Page two, again, whereas the community facility, I doubt that there's probably any additional comments or questions on that one. Yes, we will. Thank you.
I have a question.
Sure.
Summary sheet.
Yes, sorry.
Where it says plan to implement 2017, but both of these findings are administratively closed. It's a little confusing.
That's just because these have gone on. Let that thought go in and out, because next time we meet, I won't be there.
So is that really it's planned to implement or final closure?
Yeah.
I guess you could look at that.
Yeah.
Field actually represents both, right?
Yes.
So it's the final clearance of the findings.
Yeah.
So in other words, in 2017, the community facility cost recovery, that one's completely done if the Board of Supervisors accepts our recommendation to close the two administratively.
Right. And actually, the other two, it's, Catherine, are even sort of a better point. So, you know, what those reflect that at the time that our report, I think this would be the right way to say it, at the time that our report went to the Board of Supervisors, this was kind of management's view of kind of the time frame in which they were going to tackle it. So you can see the employee efficiency study that the board approved at 12/4/14. The vast majority, I think, were addressed very quickly, but we still had some lingering ones. So that date seems silly now, but it was appropriate at the time, right?
Yeah.
We just kept adding columns to this. We live and die by it. Should
that column even be there? The plan to implement column, does it even belong?
Because it seems a little...
Because we're tracking the actual findings, we're tracking, and once the report is approved, then the staff is directed to attempt to do the implementations. Use the findings. So
I don't have any problem with
it?
Removing it. No.
Right.
We just at
it,
some point
it's a
decided
meaningless,
to add it.
It doesn't hold value.
It was only meaningful at the time, right? Well, up until that date passed. So I'm fine with removing that.
Hey, Mark, quick question on the employee efficiency study.
Sure. Yes.
Late on this because I'm new. The findings, overly broad, city isn't using technology to optimize customer service, and now it's closed. So was the issue that there was no IT strategic plan, or that there was a plan but it hadn't been implemented? And then who ultimately approves or signs off on that plan?
You can go for it.
Sure. For the record, Colleen Rosillas from Moss Adams. So that study was an addition to our internal audit work plan that year. The efficiency study was done in response to the board. So that particular section, if I recall, there were a number of issues related to IT governance, to the way that IT was deployed across the city. And so that finding probably had a number of recommendations associated with it, and one of the inputs to the customer service delivery challenges that IT was having at the time was the lack of a strategic plan or any sort of strategic guidance.
And so I'm not exactly sure of the approval, but I'm sure that the approval is the IT director, and I imagine that the city manager approves that. I don't know if the IT strategic plan goes to the board or not. Lori, do you?
We didn't receive it. I can say it that way.
Okay.
Because it says, you know, on 12/19, it was completed. Mm-hmm. So I'm assuming that's when the IT director and the city manager completed the strategic plan for IT.
Yeah, and there's nothing that says that.
It wasn't on
January. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, they had a consultant come in and do the strategic plan, and I'm not sure. I know it was given to the city manager and the IT director, and actually probably all the other directors of the city, but I'm not sure if it was something that was they were planning on bringing to the board.
And I would actually just say that the Board of Supervisors itself will be looking at the report, and we may or may not close it based on whether we want to see the strategic plan, right? It'd be up to the Board of Supervisors to say, well, I don't know, what's the adopted IT strategic plan, because does it require me to spend money? So usually I might say, well, let's see that plan. So just as a... Again, it doesn't mean the board will close this. We may be done with it as saying you need a strategic plan, but doesn't mean the strategic plan is appropriate, adequate. That's two different issues. And that's really what my question is on this is, did the plan, strategic plan, did you guys review it to see that it met the conditions of the finding?
We have not. We easily could, though, if you wanted us to.
Before we close these things up, this is our opportunity to see if we want any validation on any of these items. So, when we're done with this discussion, we'll kind of move on to that.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we have, and just so you know, I mean, we can look at it from an internal audit standpoint, but we also have a whole IT team. And so if we want someone who does IT strategic planning to look at it, we could do that too. So no big deal.
Again, just for a little background, have we done an information systems audit of the city?
We have not done an information systems audit. As part of the internal controls review, we looked at IT controls, but we have not done an IT audit.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Okay, then that concludes your presentation on that project item.
Unless you want to page through the rest of these, especially the internal controls, you know, whether you have a question sort of to us to validate or if you have any questions for Nancy, quite a number of them were policy related.
So, yeah, same here. Again, coming in new on this, the cash controls, internal control review, number of, you know, what I consider fairly material concerns. It looks like a lot of it was policy oriented. They've been completed. With the exception of number 22, looks like that's going to be mid-June. But just along those lines, have you gone back and evaluated the implementation of the corrective actions, or is it just that the corrective actions been signed off as complete?
In this case, it's just that they've been signed off and complete. So sort of the background to it, it's a good question in terms of sort of the number. So probably every city, cash handling, number one, is a decentralized activity. So it's happening across many elements of the city. We've never worked with a city where it was super consistent how we do it. Usually the cash handling is quite strong. That happens centrally within finance, and as you get out into the Netherlands, you see varieties of cash handling. And so this was really sort of step one is get a cash handling policy in place. Step two, start to provide training so that we can get more consistency in it. And then step three is, doing follow-up and ongoing testing to make sure that it's working as the city would want it to. So you want to add to that?
One of the things that I see is, as we keep talking about this, is how do we track the follow up on the implementation? I guess that's, should that be a column?
We call that the validation process. So right now, what we're going to do is, when we're done with, we're going to say, are any of these things we want more follow up, and I think part of what I would think is, we would probably first kind of get the auditor's opinion on that. He probably has a feel for being on the ground, but at the same time, we can decide against his recommendation what we should be doing. So.
So, Mark, real quick, just follow up on the cash controls. Internally, from a control standpoint, how does that work? Is there like a city treasurer that manages all cash movement? And is a single person responsible for that? Or is the responsibility decentralized, causing probably even more difficulty?
So the process is pretty decentralized, and there are payments that come into the treasurer's office, but there's also other outside departments that are collecting cash and then depositing those amounts to the bank directly. Or we have a courier that comes around and collects all of their deposits and takes it to the bank. So it's...
And I was just talking from a policy and administrative standpoint. Is there a person that is responsible for cash?
So the treasurer. So, and we had a lot of cash handling policies and procedures. We didn't have something formalized. So we've created the cash handling policy, and that has gone out to all the city employees. We have a program called Policy Tech that tracks, you know, that the employees have read the policy. And so that's why a lot of those items are complete, because we've included the procedures in our policy. And then some of the ones that are just partial are because in the policy it states that the treasurer's office will go out and do training, test review of the processes, and they just haven't had time to do that. They've just completed the policy.
Right. So, Steve, what I was mentioning before, so we kind of started at reviewing internal controls at an enterprise level, kind of for design. So what's there, what's not there. Cash handling, it's a place that we look at everywhere, and this would be a place, like everywhere else, that deserves some attention. And so part of it was the policy piece, part of it would be the training piece. So this is an area that we should be doing testing, for sure, but we wanted to give some time for them to do some of the improvement first before we dived in and sort of are testing while they're in the midst of it. And so, for example, I would expect that in next year's internal audit program, we'll have cash handling testing. And because the policy, the recent policy work was quite recent, right? Yeah. And so giving the treasurer's office some time and opportunity to sort of implement that and do some training, I think is fair to some time.
Yeah, the question is how much time. I mean, these audit findings were from, you know, June 2015, and, you know, we're coming up on, you know, we're past 18 months, coming up on 2 years. And with cash, you know, for me personally, there's a sense of urgency around it because it's cash. And I'm just curious, have we had any issues with short cash or any, you know, fraud issues within the different areas that are handling cash? Since it's so decentralized, were we able to find any of those? They typically turn up in internal audits. External auditors tend not to hone in on, you know, fraud type issues. But if there were policy issues and there was, you know, some training concerns, it definitely opens the door for cash, you know, shortage issues. And I just wondered if you guys had found any of those.
Right. So number one, no. No indications of fraud, and if we did, you would know about that, and this would have been sort of elevated more. In terms of being short in cash, we haven't done cash testing, so we haven't done any surprise testing or anything like that yet. So we don't know the answer to that, but I mean, I think to your point that this should be an area that's worth having focus on in terms of testing in the next fiscal year. So I agree on everything that you're saying.
And just to kind of help give our new committee members a better perspective, it's kind of like turning a big ship, you know, around. It's been a slow process, and where do you start? Because for a lot of years, there was no real internal audit function. And when this started out a few years ago, it was really the focus was performance, measurement, and working with that so we could, you know, be able to assess that. It's only probably in the last year that we're starting to really focus on internal controls and getting involved with that. So they did do some things. And, yes, there's been problems. We know in some of the departments where there's been fraud, you know, where they're handling cash, you know, it's come up in the last couple of years. So, again, it's taken a systematic approach to this as we're going through it, and that'll be covered. So. And that's partly why, as we come up each year, we look at our work program. We discuss that amongst ourselves, what our recommendations are for the direction they should be taken. And that's basically based on what we find over the past year.
Comment in general on the cash handling. And while the recommendation is for closure on some of these, I'm really not comfortable closing them, because what I'd like to do is let the treasurer have the opportunity to test the procedure and ensure that all the internal controls and the new policies that were written are actually correct. Because when they get out there to do a test, she may discover a flaw in the policy and want to adjust that. So I really believe we should let her finish through June 30th and let her go out and do her testing, and then let her test even her own policy, if that makes any sense to you. That, yeah, oftentimes you get out and you go, shoot, that doesn't fit. I left off this little area that has cash, and I didn't account for that in the policy. So I don't see an urgency to actually close these. I think the policy that the treasurer did is superb. I think she did a great job. But I'd really love to give her the opportunity to run the gamut through, do the testing out there, and find out that she's addressed all the issues in cash, if that makes sense. And then we could consider on our other item where we look to where we want to go in the future, then I'd feel comfortable sending Moss Adams back out to do the spot check, right? Does the policy work? Was the policy implemented? Are the staff following the policy? Things of that nature, but I'd really love to give the treasurer an opportunity to test her own work first.
Yeah, I'm just suggesting we do not close the internal controls review until she's completed the testing.
Okay.
She does indicate she's going to do it before June. Is that correct, Nancy? She was going to get out before the end of the fiscal year anyway?
Yes.
So then we could pick it up at the next meeting.
I don't know that we can't close items 31 and 41, though, having to do with train programs and intrusion detection systems.
Trained them.
31's not closed yet. So sorry.
Just 41. I'm sorry.
41. Gotcha.
41.
Well, since we're talking about the matter of closing, I think of these four items on our summary sheet that we're looking at, my understanding is the recommendation of the internal auditors is that we close the community facility cost recovery study, because that's pretty much they've all been addressed, and the same with the employee efficiency study. So maybe what we can do is we start taking these one at a time and go forward and knock them off. So I guess, do I have a motion that the community facility cost recovery study and employee use, only make a motion to closing those and recommending for closure?
Yeah, I'll make a motion to close that with the one change from
the verbiage.
Yes, the verbiage change in the box.
Okay.
Second.
Okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? All right, motion carries. So the first two items will be closed with the change in the verbiage. Then as we move into the internal controls review, then that's not really being considered for, or the policy and procedures review, those aren't really being considered for close right now. We feel they're both open. And as Supervisor Bagwell mentioned, we would like to give the treasurer an opportunity to come back. So I think that unless there's some more discussion on these two items where you'll be reporting back and we'll be following up on these, but these will not be closed, and we'll be hearing more about how these are being resolved and if we do want to maybe validate some of the findings in the future.
Let's talk about the number 41. And so the reason that I don't want to close that one is we talked about the strategic plan for IT. And again, I like to see everything as a package. So I've learned some hard lessons over the last couple of years is that I don't like things in pieces. I like to see it all together to make sure that each thing provides the needed result and that we don't counteract one with another. So,
it's all done.
Right, and so on its surface, it looks pretty good for 41. I'd just like to consider, let's see, where did we have the strategic plan? And so
that's on the employee efficiencies.
On employee efficiency. So I'm not sure. Should we put 41 could go to the board that of supervisors with the strategic plan? So are we okay with letting 41 actually go forward from here to the board so that, again, the board sees that as a package? So even though it's in internal controls, I think we should let number 41 go with the strategic plan so the Board of Supervisors sees it together. So it's a good pick. Good job, Ernie. So 41 could be passed out of here.
And so did you want us to do anything on the IT strategic plan?
Popped off. Sorry about that. So that's really what I'm trying to get at. Do we want Moss Adams, before it goes to the Board of Supervisors, to do a validation to the strategic plan?
My motion is just for the first item.
It was just the first item only? Okay, not the employee efficiency? Okay. All right. I'm comfortable. So then the question before we do employee efficiency is to determine whether we'd like a further validation and then hook number 41 with that. What do you guys think? To let Moss Adams actually take a validation review of the strategic plan and item number 41. Okay. So we won't move that one to the board on employee efficiency, and we won't move internal controls until the treasurer has an opportunity to report back the success. I'm thinking it's going to be very positive here. I'm putting in my positive 2 cents. It's going to be very successful. Does that work?
And I was going to say on the an internal controls, you know, you can have us just validate first that the policies address the issues. So, you know, sort of do a thorough review of the policy and then still have the really giving, like, as you said, Lori, the treasurer time to implement. And then the next step would be do some testing, I'd say, next fiscal year. So we could still do that.
The last one we have is the policy and procedure review. So I'd like a little more understanding on number 3. It just says, we'll encourage elected official departments to establish procedures for their various functions. And so what I'm guessing there is we can't tell an elected official what to do, but did we get a response from any of the other elected officials that they would like to participate or not participate?
There are some that have their policies and procedures in policy tech. The courts do, and I believe the sheriff's office. I'm not positive on that. I was just trying to pull policy tech up real quick. But there were other elected departments where they just said that they were governed by NRS and didn't want to have specific policies or procedures in place. So that's kind of where that was left off. And I don't remember who did, Colleen, did you work on that?
Yeah.
Is that, okay.
So that there are a number of functions that the counties are required to deliver by law, right? And so we heard from a couple of folks that, like Nancy said, they would rather just operate by statute and they didn't need separate policies. And from our perspective, it would probably be more efficient and effective to have some easily understood guidance for employees to not have to read through legislation, but elected officials are not necessarily under the that purview of the city manager, so here we are.
So let me just use the example of one we're just getting completed with. Are you saying that the treasurer's office isn't putting in policy tech, the cash handling?
The treasurer's office wasn't one of the departments.
Okay. Well, and potentially we can look in, let me ask a different question. And can policy tech actually is set to the correct department, right? So I give access to these three people to see this policy. So not all policies are citywide. Is that correct?
So we have the citywide ones, and then finance actually has a number of policies that just pertain to the finance department, and so then those can only be seen by those employees.
Okay.
So they could do something like that.
Okay. Thank you.
Just a quick clarifying question, Nancy. The treasurer department does not use policy tech, and they're not required to?
No, the treasurer's office has entered their cash handling policy and policy tech. It's a couple other small departments that are run by elected officials. Yeah. The assessor's office is one of them, and the clerk recorder.
Just a real quick clarifying question. One of the ways to gauge, you know, whether the internal controls are working or not is monitoring short cash. Do we specifically monitor short cash? Do we have an account that monitors short cash for unreconciled cash differences?
Oh, cash. Yes, there's an account that the treasurer's office reconciles all the, they get a revenue report from the department couple times a month, and then they reconcile all the cash that got deposited to the revenue report. And if there's a shortage, there's a cash. It could be over or short. And there's never really been any significant amounts, you know, charged to those accounts.
Okay. Is it possible to just for next meeting say, hey, you know, for 20, I guess look backwards, 20, the fiscal year ending June 30, 2016, what the short cash was for that year, for that fiscal year? Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Okay, so I guess what we're looking at is to take some action on these items and then be able to move forward. So it looks like on the we're going to keep the employee efficiency study open. I guess we're going to have to amend our previous motion where they're both enclosed. Oh, it was only the closed one. Oh, okay. I thought we closed both of them. Okay. So it's just the first one. So,
community facility is what we closed.
Right. So, I guess at this point, do we need a motion to kind of summarize what we're keeping open and what we're moving forward on?
Well,
are you satisfied with the policy and procedure? I guess, Laura, you were wondering on the policy. Are you finished with that, or is there?
Nope. I'd just like to leave that open one more meeting, and
okay.
I'll reach out.
And see what.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So then, I guess at this point, then we've had a motion we agreed on to close the first item. The rest of them going to be open, and they'll be up for the discussion in the next meeting.
We need to let them know which ones for validation.
Yeah, so this is what I'm suggesting based on the conversation that the employee efficiency study number 5, internal controls number 41, which are the two IT related ones, and then under the internal controls, each of the cash handling policy, which are 22, 23, 24, 25, 27, and 28. And that's just validating that, yes, the policy addresses what it needs to. And then, again, we'll deal with the testing later.
Yeah. So you'll be able to have that for us by the next meeting?
Sure.
Okay.
Yep.
All right, good. All right, well then, I guess we just need a motion that they go ahead and do that validation then, except on those items that he listed.
Motion to validate the items listed in the internal control review for validation.
And employee efficiency.
And the employee efficiency.
The ones that are completed.
Yeah, and the ones that are completed. Yeah. That those are the only ones that would be up for validation would be completed ones.
Yep. Second.
Okay. Any other discussion? All right. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Nay. Okay. Motion carries. Okay.
Mr. Chair, real quick, just for clarification, was there a nay in that last vote?
There was no nay.
No nay. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Is there any public comment at this time? Is there any public? Okay. Just wanted to make sure I gave everybody their chance there. Okay, moving on to agenda item 6D, to approve the fiscal year 17 internal audit work program regarding the public guardian. Mark, could you please discuss that?
Yes, I'd be happy to. So you have in front of you a two-page scope of work, looking like that, for a fairly specific look at public guardian activities, specifically asset liquidation. Just to give you a little background here without too many specifics, there were within the city some concerns whether this process was working as the city would hope it would. And so the city manager asked if this was an area that we could take a look at. And we said that we could, and discussed that we had a placeholder item within the budget so that there was certainly money available to do that within the internal audit program. So we've put together for your approval, in essence, to allow us to utilize that contingency budget of $15,000 for this project. And so the purpose of the project, your objective is, so you've got a public guardian within the county. We have other clients who have in different types of institutions that have estate and trust-related activities, and there's no reflection on the individuals, but it's not typically kind of the core competency of the institutions within which it resides. And so here you have some very unique activities where you have the assets of people which the county is serving, the county is serving as a public guardian, and then there are points of times where those assets are liquidated. And they're through various means, but for example, furniture can be taken to antique stores and sold. And so this is to look at the process, what are the controls, what are the roles and responsibilities, but basically look at how does that process work, are there holes in it and gaps in how we would want it to operate. And so that's the focus here. Wasn't unlike the small works projects where the hotline was kind of a catalyst for it. This is, in this case, the city manager's office saying, hey, I think I'd like to take a look at this. Questions? I mean, it's fairly straightforward other than we'll see what we find.
How do you evaluate what's appropriate? I mean, is there, bidding process and so forth?
Well, that's what we're going to find out. So first we'll look at, just sort of standard fare here. Well, first we're going to look and see what policies and procedures are in place. So are things well-defined or not? Let's assume that they're well-defined. Are we following that process, those processes, whatever they are? I mean, we haven't started to dig into it yet, so I don't know the answer to that question yet of how those activities are carried out. But what we'll be able to do is come back to you with, okay, this is how it does happen. Is this what we want? We'll have findings or recommendations like everything else. Findings are going to be opportunities for improvement, and I'm sure there are for everything, right? It's small or large. So we're kind of interested to do. I was just having a conversation a couple days ago about this. So we just did a similar project for Pepperdine University, who happens to be a client, and they have a pretty large estate and trust, a very small department, but pretty big dollars, and then what they find is, well, they have all these one-off instances of, well, I have an estate or a trust, and I want it administered a certain way, and so it kind of has just taken on a life of its own, and they're not really in the business set up to do that. And so they were like, time out, we're like into this more than we expected we're going to be. Take a look at it, see how it's working for us. What are other institutions doing? You know, are we handling this the best way that we could? So, so I think it'd be interesting.
So on the quote, it's $15,000 plus out of pockets, and is all we have left is $15,000. So,
two comments there. So one is. We do have more. We've got plenty more within the overall internal audit budget, but this will be within 15,000. If it's over, it'll be rounding. Yeah.
It's the bean counter in me. there you go.
It's not gonna turn into 20.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. I'm like, wait.
Yeah. No, if it's over, it'll be 15 and change. Yeah. We typically live within the project budgets anyway.
Well, yeah. So when will this be? I get at the end of this meeting, we're going to propose a time we're going to get together. So hopefully, I am kind of curious in particular about this particular project. So is this going to take very long? When do you think you'll be able to get started on? Because I know you got a couple of other projects we're really looking at. You're in the middle of. Is this something that's going to be able to be tackled in the near future and maybe ready for our next meeting?
Yeah, so well, depending on when we meet next, but we were planning we'd start this next month and get it finished in April. If we meet in May, yeah, for sure. If we meet in April, might be touch and go. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't have any other questions. I think it's just going to be like, we'll just have to wait to see what you come up with and then go from there. So it'll be opening
it'll
up
be
the can and see what's inside, if there's worms or what.
Not.
Are there any other comments or questions for Mark at this time? Okay. Do we need a motion on that? We don't. Do we need a motion? I don't think so. Approve. Do we have to approve that? Do we need to approve? We do need a motion to approve. Okay. Then is there a motion to approve that the work on the Public Guardian Asset Liquidation Process?
Sure. You know? I'll move to approve the use of fiscal year 17 internal audit work program contingency funds to engage Moss Adams to perform a review of the Public Guardian asset liquidation process.
Second.
Any other comments? Discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay. Okay, motion carries. Any public comment? No public, no comment. Going on to agenda item number 6E, small works project. Moss Adams has worked on doing an exam of the small works project, and Mark, would you like to tell us about that and go over the results?
Actually, Colleen is going to be happy to tell you about that.
Delighted. So Mark mentioned a little bit earlier that last year there were a couple of calls to the ethics hotline related to interdivisional accounting for public works projects. We also identified capital projects in our risk assessment that was conducted in 2013 as an area of potential further study for efficiency and effectiveness improvements. So that led to studying interdivisional small works projects accounting as part of this year's internal audit program. And you'll notice that this report is pretty short and there are any fireworks, which is good. And we found the Public Works Department has really been doing their best to serve the community, and they've made some improvements this year with related to policies. So backing up a little bit, just like what is an interdivisional small works project? What the heck does that mean? So an example, which unfortunately is very close to you guys right now, is the flood response efforts that Public Works has been doing in recent months. And in that case, it's really an all hands on deck because we want to ensure the safety of our citizens and we also want to try to preserve the city assets. And so in that case, we're thinking about a flood or maybe an ice event. We're calling any equipment operator who lives locally who can get here safely. We don't care if he's in the water division or in the sewer division because we want to get the work accomplished and get the scene safe. So the work has always been performed with a focus on response, and interdivisional accounting was kind of inconsistent until last year. And that was also in response to these two hotline reports and looking into that, the Public Works Department in January 2016 developed a draft policy related to this with the goal of instead of folks going out and working and their time is up charged to their fund and equipment is charged to their fund, then if a project is a water main break, then the sewer folks or the streets folks who work on that project, their time should be charged to the water fund accordingly. So that's what the new policy says. So what we did was we took a look at some of these projects since 2014, but we only sampled projects from 2016 to look at compliance with that draft policy. And we looked at the journal entries, and we compared to make sure that things were followed in the order that the policy stated. And we found that operations were compliant with the policy, but we did identify four major areas for improvement with the policy or with the process. So I'll just go through those. Well, actually, I'll stop and just note our commendations here. So one thing that makes Carson City pretty unique compared to a lot of other jurisdictions is that the city insources small works projects. And we would say probably most other municipalities have an on-call list of contractors who, when something like this happens, they just call them up and they do the work and provide an invoice. And so it's a pretty good, efficient use of resources and very responsive for the city to go out and use their own crews to do this work. You're really maximizing your use of equipment. On the other side, some other capital projects as a result of this work don't necessarily get accomplished, and that's just limited resources, and that would be the case whether or not you outsource. So this flood response is going to impact the city's ability to do some capital projects this year likely, and that's just the way that it goes in government. We also, as I said before, the department is very collaborative, very solution-oriented, and the focus is really on being responsive to citizen complaints, being responsive to safety issues, and being flexible so that we can get our work accomplished. And we really want to highlight that. Darren and his department have done a great job in that regard, and we certainly don't always see that with our clients. So on to our recommendations. We made some recommendations for improving the draft policy. The first is just give a good definition of small works projects. We kind of went back and forth with the department on how are we going to define these. You know, a minimum of a certain amount and a maximum of $300,000. That's a pretty wide range. So just do some more definitions. The other is a threshold of materiality for when we actually use this policy. So we understand in a revenue-constrained environment, it's important to charge accordingly, but it's also important not to spend more time administratively on the charging of time, right, than we do on actually doing the work. So making sure that that's a balance. So we recommended that that's, you know, somewhere between $1,000 and $5,000, and that would be really just an assessment of, you know, maybe it's a couple of hours worth of work, or maybe we look at the types of projects that we're seeing and the amount of time we're spending out there and balancing that with the administrative staff time. So that would be up to Public Works to establish that level of materiality, work with finance to figure out a place where the city is comfortable. We also recommended putting some documentation standards in that policy, especially we have a recommendation on narrative so that we know exactly what happened on the project. And that, in part, there are system limitations that impact that right now, but that's also to give us as stewards of public funds some level of confidence over what actually occurred out on the job site, as opposed to just this is the work order number and here's what was charged there. Next, we just want to recommend and point out, you know, in internal audit, we talk about this a lot, right? Consistency. Consistency, consistency. So this is a brand new policy. It was a draft policy. And so there were a couple of areas where things just didn't look the same compared across the work orders. And so we just want to become more consistent. We expect that with the implementation of the new system, as well as with folks getting used to this is the way we always do it, that should not be an issue moving forward. The third area related to documentation, as I mentioned before, so the current system that Public Works uses is called Cartograph. It's pretty old. It's slated for replacement this year, and there are quite a few limitations in terms of what the city can put into Cartograph, and so a lot of manual reporting has to be done out of that. So as they're putting together the requirements for the new system, ensuring that there's some narrative there, and then potentially if the city is able to in the future look at field technology that allows folks to take pictures, then that's always the best source of documentation. So in the two projects that went to our ethics hotline, if there had been pictures, it would have been open and shut. And so that's just something that we would recommend. We understand that that takes money, but it's something for the city to consider. And then finally, in reporting, so now that we have this policy in place, let's do a quarterly report. We'll review it with finance. We'll make sure the policy was followed, our process was followed. If we identify any improvements, then we can make them in that regard. And that was it. So I'll open up for questions.
Do you know, is the system that is going to replace that cardiograph, or what you mentioned, is that budgeted and in this current year, or, 2017 budget?
Darren Schultz, Public Works, for the record, yes, it is budgeted current year.
Okay, and is the requirements document done on that?
Is the what?
Is there a requirements document completed for what we're looking for that system to do?
Yes, yes.
Okay. I was just curious. Okay, thanks.
Karen.
So maybe just let's dive a little deeper. So is this one we're already ready to purchase? You've already purchased it.
Yes.
Where are we in the process
okay.
of this?
Okay, we're it's basically part of asset management that we've taken on in Public Works, and we're using it in four of our divisions already, and so we're migrating our other divisions over to this software, and we haven't done it yet for the cartograph side of things. It's a little more complicated, so it just hasn't happened yet, but it will be happening within the next probably 6 to 9 months.
So let me ask on the picture, because in the asset management and everything, somehow we're getting pictures of buildings and all the issues. So will pictures be able to be handled?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think we're already,
yeah,
as the city itself, doing asset management, GIS, things of that nature. So I look forward to, before a project is done, that the picture can be taken, which will validate the need for the small projects work, and that should alleviate concerns of the public that things may or may not have been appropriate to do. So I think you're going to see that we get the pictures, too. They're
yep.
doing a great job in the asset management.
For facilities,
and it's just how we can dovetail all of this together. So
right.
Good job.
Real quick, just what's the name of the software that's been selected?
So we're going from cartograph, and I'm just on the spot, so it's not coming to me, but I bet if I sit down, I'll think of it, and I'll come back up.
You can phone a friend.
It'll come to me.
Your lifeline. You get a lifeline.
Oh, yeah. Any other questions while I'm up here? Okay.
Is it Asset Works? No.
The policy indicates that it's draft. Does that mean you're almost through testing and done, and you'll be able to, it's going to go into policy tech?
I can answer that question. Sure. So they drafted the policy, and then this was part of our internal audit work plan. So they waited to finalize the policy until we made recommendations. So I know that they plan to make changes and finalize the policy. It's already in policy tech as draft, then finalize it and have it be there forever.
Early on, we were talking about how Carson City is unique and that it utilizes its own assets rather than outsourcing it all. Is there any kind of study or assessment done as far as what is the difference in costs? I mean, they're using it, but what is the actual cost? I mean, because I know sometimes we're looking at some of the internal costs of things, and it's would have been better to outsource it. So is there any analysis done on that, or is that something that hasn't been done at this point?
So I don't think that analysis has been done, to my knowledge. At this point, it certainly could be done. The major input to that is whether or not you have the skilled labor available in the area to do the work. And it's a pretty small town, so that may not be the case. It may be, but part of that is you would solicit bids and see what the average rate is.
Yeah, so I think ultimately we want to look at, you know, the costs and the efficiency, the effectiveness and the efficiency of it. And so I think that really hasn't been addressed in that, so we just don't really know that right now. I guess I was kind of getting the impression from that was already decided on. But it could be that it's very effective, but it may not be very efficient. So there's still a question mark there in my mind then.
Yeah, and I would say, you know, that usually – so there are two primary factors there. There's utilization. And so how sort of fully utilized are your resources? And then there's just the sheer costs of it if you're, for example, comparing, you know, public to private sector. But usually it's – municipalities use, you know, varying levels of outsourcing, but it's to level off the peaks, right, so that we're not hiring full-time employees for the peaks and then they're, you know, sort of sitting idle when you have the valleys. And, you know, the efficiency study, even though it was broad, I think helped give a little bit of a sense citywide that it's a fairly lean city, sort of all in all. But the ultimate answer to your question, Mr. Chair, is yeah, no, that was not analyzed.
Okay, are there any other comments or questions? Okay. Is there anything
else for the record, I knew if I sat down. ER portal is the name of it. ER portal. Yeah. You all knew that, right? You just didn't think of it.
We would have bailed you out if we knew.
All right, before we move on, is there any public comment? All right.
And then do you need a motion to accept the report?
But actually, I was just going to mention, just for the, because Michael, I thought you were actually going to say it, for the benefit, again, sorry, of the two new members, the Policy Tech, so we work with lots of cities and lots of counties. Policy Tech that Carson City has, do any of our other clients have it?
No.
So it's really, and I mean, we've said this to the audit committee before, but it's really, it's a best practice here. Our other cities, so they don't have a central repository. They might have a SharePoint site where they have their policies, but they don't have a database that's giving you alerts of when something needs to be updated, whether it is updated, whether you've disseminated training on it. And that might seem like a little thing, but in a very decentralized operation, it's actually a very useful thing. So I just wanted you to have the benefit. It's kind of not just a throwaway comment here because we mentioned that to our other clients. Now, you need this. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so anyway.
Okay, so do we need a motion on this? Okay, so to accept the small works projects.
I make a motion to approve the audit presented on small works. Lamas Adams.
Second it.
Okay, any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, motion carries. Okay, and again, I guess we have one final opportunity for any public comment, and it looks like there's none. So before we adjourn, we would like to kind of like tentatively set up a time when we have our next meeting, and I guess it's a matter of when there'll be sufficient work done. I see that there's a couple of projects that you're working on that you've got timetables for, what, March and April, so probably early May would be a good time.
Just a thought process is maybe we can check with the treasurer and see when she thinks she might have done her testing, and maybe we can take those all out with it. So I'd hate to set it 15 days too early, and then we could have cleared all the treasurer's internal control review. So we kind of coordinate with the treasurer on that too.
Well, the one thing I was going to say is, so I was going to suggest May, because we're going to have some reports that we're going to be bringing to you in June. Really, we should be doing a look forward to next year, so maybe not to pile too much onto a June meeting. So take some of the work that we're going to be reporting to you in May, and if the treasurer's ready in May, great. If she's not ready until June, that can happen in June, and we'll still be bringing to you, you know, suggestions for the next fiscal year in terms of the audit program.
I think we're going to do a May and a June meeting instead of just one.
That's my suggestion. You just don't want to see us that frequently. I'm
trying to be effective and efficient with my time.
Yeah.
Well, sorry. I'd rather spend 2 hours. Anyway, I can live with
that. That's fine, too. It doesn't really matter to us either.
So if we have a meeting, I'm looking at the very first Tuesday in May would be like the second. And then if we did another meeting, I mean, would pretty much a lot of the work that we've got scheduled out here be, have the guardianship, there'll be the those internal controls work? Just pretty much most of the projects, do you anticipate those being completed and being able to report on them by then, by May the 2nd?
Yeah, although I would have suggested May 9th, but other than that, yeah.
All right, well, I got May 9th open. I can do that. How about the rest of you guys?
Yes, to get
it approved. You don't have to take that in June. That can go July.
Okay. You're not going to spend any money July 1st?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. See what we're saying.
Oh, yeah.
If you need money effective July 1st, we need to get there first.
No. Right. I mean, you could still do it earlier if you wanted to, but that's not an issue anyway.
So really, May is going to be pretty much a wrap-up of all these projects and getting back. And then June is going to be really looking at next year's work program and the budget and so forth. And then that would then go to the board.
That's
so,
what
and so, okay.
So, Nancy, can we do it 2 o'clock on the 9th so we can push this just a little bit earlier so I can hit my other meeting? Thanks.
Okay. 2 o'clock on the 9th. Okay, can everybody do that 2 o'clock on the 9th?
Right. I'll have to see if the room's available.
Right.
And since we're changing the time, too, it would probably be good if we had a reminder like the day before, because I know in the past when we've changed the times. Since it's earlier,
because we're creatures of habit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We want a system in place here.
Do we want to look at a June date, too, just while we're doing it?
Personally, I think let's just wait till May and then take a look, and then we've got
more
information from there.
That's fine.
For everybody.
No worries.
Okay, so it's recommended that we have our next meeting on May the 9th at 2 o'clock. And with that, do I have a motion to adjourn?
Move to adjourn.
Okay, and all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any nays? None. We are closed. Thank you.
Thank you.